Beyond the Sermon, episode 13.
Alrighty, it is episode 13 of Beyond the Sermon.
Woo!
Yeah.
We've got to somehow celebrate. You know what we should have done? I just thought about this. This past Friday was Friday the 13th.
Right.
We should have done the podcast that day.
And a full moon, right? That
it
same day?
It was. Yeah. Yeah, we probably should have done that.
Man.
So, epic fail, guys. Good job.
Epic fail.
we'll figure something out next time. So.
That's right.
But how can you review the sermon in advance?
That's true. It would have had to have been like a bonus episode.
Before the sermon.
There we go. So we know all of you podcast listeners out there are craving more
That's beyond the sermon.
So we may consider doing a before the sermon
Maybe even a during the sermon.
That would be awesome as well. So we could do that Facebook Live, though.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
That'd be awesome.
So, all right. Michael Kennedy, lead pastor at North River Church, sitting here with Scott Kerlin. Discipleship and worship and all around tech guru pastor.
And a little known fact, wore the number 13 in baseball.
Really?
So, I mean, it's all coming together.
I love it. And the guy who's been working with 13-year-olds for a number of years, Pastor Adam.
Hello!
There we go.
That's great.
So we had contemplating...
We're just hitting puberty, so I have to talk a little bit of a squeak.
This podcast is maturing quickly.
That's right. We are, man. We're moving into the teenage years, and soon we'll be in adulthood.
There you go.
So, which... That'll be good. Which, for the first 20 years, you know, after you hit about age 20, you quit going to church for about 10 years.
Right.
So you have kids.
So you have kids.
And then you show back up again.
Oh,
so.
Goodness.
Anyway, so we're diving in this week to what we looked at last week, continuing on in our series called Resolved, Worthy Resolutions for the Christian Life. And we said last week that God's mission will be a priority. And we looked at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And here were the three points. So if you weren't there and you haven't gone back and listened to the message, which we always encourage you to do, if I were someone, I would listen 3 or 4 times a week
right,
to the message just over and over and over again. So, just to let it soak in.
Yeah.
In double time.
But the last time, so if you do it, let's just say you do 3 times, on the 4th time, you have to go half time.
Oh, goodness.
We won you. So
yes.
That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, so we talked about God's mission, and we focused in on, one, identifying what God's mission is. And so Jesus, in all 4 Gospels, it's recorded, and then here in the book of Acts, which we covered on Sunday, the mission that Jesus has left his church with is to make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what our call is, that's what our responsibility is, not only as believers individually, but as believers gathered corporately as the church. That's what God's called us to do. And that's what our lives should be oriented around or reoriented around, is making sure that God's mission is the priority of our lives. So I mentioned on Sunday that I hope every one of our members at North River Church, and ultimately all believers around the world, view their life as a calling to be a missionary. And I remember I grew up in the church and actually went to Christian school for a number of years growing up. And I remember the missionaries that would come and talk in the class or come and talk in church. And you always thought, just a little bit strange. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, they're just not quite normal, at least in my mind. So, but in a real sense, as missionaries prepare that go overseas, they learn the culture, they ingrain themselves in what's going on in the society in which they're making their new home, they're learning the language, all of those things. We have the privilege living here not to have to worry about that. We know the culture because we're involved in it. We know the people because they're our neighbors, they're our friends, our coworkers. We know the language, which around parish, let's just be honest, is a bit of Northern influence, you know.
Right.
So, interestingly, guys, for us who grew up in the South, mm-hmm. predominantly,
right.
We get made fun of every once in a while. Yeah. Have you guys noticed that?
Yes.
Anybody ever said you, I can remember being at a restaurant or something, and the first comment is, "So where are you from?" A big smile, you know? And I'm like, Parrish.
Right, yeah.
No, you're not. No, I live in Parrish. You're not from Parrish. No, I'm not from Parrish. So
my in-laws visited this past weekend, and we were outside in the yard. A neighbor walked up. He's talking to me, and my father-in-law walks up, and father-in-law's speaking, and neighbor looks at him and says, "Where are you from with that accent?"
There you go.
He said, "God's country, man, Alabama." So, too funny.
Oh, don't give Jay Carricker anything to smile about.
Yeah, he doesn't need more ammo. Yeah,
no,
that's right.
Come on. He's still in mourning, I hear, though, from Alabama's loss. Yeah. But
he was an All Black Sunday, wasn't he?
I saw that. Yeah, so had a veil over his face.
That's right.
Black,
that's right.
So anyway, we when we think about the fact that God's called us exactly where we are to live as missionaries, we don't necessarily need further training. We don't need to learn a new language. We don't really have to seek out opportunities. I mean, we've got opportunities that present themselves mm-hmm. every single day to engage with people about what Christ has done in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so we mentioned that on Sunday as kind of the foundation of us living as missionaries every single day. So, guys, anything that y'all wanted to highlight from Sunday that stuck out to you?
One thing, as you were speaking of our calling as missionaries, wherever we are, wherever God has placed us, I had lunch today with one of our life group leaders, and we were discussing basically the same thing. It reminded me of something a pastor said a few years ago.
All right, so pause for just a second.
Okay.
Life group, shameless plug.
Life group, shameless plug.
Yeah, get involved in a life group, right?
Hey, okay. I'm excited. We've got so many people signed up. As newcomers into the life group ministry.
Absolutely.
And very pumped about this this coming season.
And we've started three new groups.
At least three.
Yeah, and maybe four.
There's two more that are pretty much ready to begin when needed. So
that's
very
amazing.
Very exciting.
Great. Amazing.
Very exciting. The conversation.
This week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. That's right.
Yeah.
This week.
This week.
Cool.
So, conversation reminded me of something a pastor said a few years ago, kind of stuck with me. He said, you know, you might feel at times or down the road that it's time to retire from a job, from a career. He said, but nowhere in Scripture do we see retirement from God's mission, God's calling. Mm-hmm. And I had this conversation at lunch. It's just interesting. We were kind of on the same page with that, you know, no matter where we are in our lives, whether we're a student in middle school, whether we're, you know, retired from a career, God's called us to the same mission.
Yeah.
And we see that here in this scripture, obviously.
That's good.
That's right.
I like it.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Adam.
I was going to say, you know, just your first point, I think, was his mission defies our logic. And you had used the phrase in there, kind of, that God uses ordinary people, mm-hmm. and he wants to use your story. And, you know, I think so many times we look at the people that are in the Bible, that are recorded there in our scripture, and, you know, you think of them as, like, these super Christians, if you will, who... just had amazing ability to be used by God, but realistically, they are just normal, flawed people, mm-hmm. just like we are.
Yeah.
The difference being that they were, you know, definitely willing to be used by God in whatever way possible, and that's really just how God calls us to come to Him to be used in His mission, is to just come to Him and just say, "Here I am.
Yeah,
I'm ready to be your servant and be used by you." And so, you know, I think it was, I think maybe J.D. Greer, at one point, I'd heard him say at one time, you know, God uses ordinary people for extraordinary purposes.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the thing. It's just the ordinary, mm-hmm. everyday person. There's nothing more special about the three of us, because we carry the title pastor, mm-hmm. than, you know, just... a church member that's a part of our family as well.
Absolutely, no, that's exactly right. And I think the advantage, I would say, even thinking about that, of the advantage of not being a pastor,
right?
Typically, and I know it's like that for me, and I know for you guys as well. We have to work harder to be around lost people, people that don't know Jesus, than most of the people that that we minister to and minister alongside of. And so for us, I know for me, I have to be very intentional to engage with my neighbors, very intentional when we're at restaurants or things like that, because you can get in the bubble as a pastor and only talk to church members, only talk to believers. And so, man, there's times when I'm envious of our teenagers that get to go to school and engage with people that don't have a relationship with Jesus on a day in and day out basis. Our people that are working in careers that put them in touch with people day in and day out that don't have a relationship with the Lord. And so, so I say, you know, that's a tremendous opportunity and blessing that the Lord has given. And I encourage our folks to allow God to use them for His glory, for His purpose, His mission. Mm-hmm. So I think, too, just thinking about that, I mentioned the idea and didn't necessarily get to flesh it out a lot, but that idea of sharing your story with someone else of how you came to faith in Christ. I can remember growing up and my early and late teenage years, having guys come in and speak at youth camp or something like that, that had like what I considered an incredible testimony of hooked on drugs, you know, all these kind of things, and God radically saved them out of their sin. And I always thought, man, the only drug problem I had was the fact that my parents drugged me to church.
That's right.
You know? You were hooked on phonics. That's what
I was. I was, you know, I was there. I was hooked on Bible stories, you know. Right. So, but yeah, that I think it's just such a reminder of every single story, regardless of if it's what we would consider way crazy life of sin, to those that we would say grew up in the church. Mm-hmm. And man, if I look back, I mean, there's not really massive sin in my life that I could look at and go, gosh, I used to do this and now I no longer do this.
Right.
But the reality of sin is sin.
That's right. That's right.
Regardless of the degree in which we are sinners, a sinner is a sinner, mm-hmm. regardless of how crazy we may think it went or not, that Jesus' blood that was shed covers sin, and if we have been saved by Him, that is a radical testimony of His blood covering our sin. So regardless of how mundane you may think your story is, it is a radical story of love and forgiveness, and Jesus's blood was shed for you, and that's a message that every single person needs to hear. So God's mission defies our logic. You emphasized that, Adam. Mm-hmm. The second point we made was that God's mission displays His power. And we looked at the need for the Holy Spirit to be at work, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people that we encounter and talk with about what Christ has done in us. So I think we see that in the text as they waited, and Jesus commanded them, wait until they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We see that displayed in Acts chapter 2 and the result of that. And I made the point of saying that that what they were looking forward to receiving, which was the gift of the Holy Spirit, is something that every single believer from that time forward, outside of one other occasion in the book of Acts when the gospel was going to the first Gentile converts, we see again the Holy Spirit in power in a little bit different way, similar to Acts chapter 2. But for all after those points in time that were believers that had received salvation through Christ's death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Mm-hmm. And all the power that we need at work within us is there. And we look at the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. Certainly, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. And so as we think about the role of the Holy Spirit in illuminating the Scriptures so that we better understand God's Word, But also the fact of the Spirit working in power in our lives as we interact with and have conversations with other people, and Him working in their lives as well, preparing their hearts to hear and receive the message of the gospel. And so when we look at just the desperate need we have for God's Spirit and His power to be at work, I mentioned that, you know, I hope our prayer as we interact with people is that the Spirit of God would be moving in their lives prior to the conversations that that we have with them. So anything about the power of the Spirit at work in lives that you guys thought?
I think that is something that we as believers need to come back to literally every day, to remember that God's Spirit, His very Spirit, is alive and working in us. That should change everything about us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It reminded me of a... I was trying to pull the lyrics here, but I'm having trouble with my Wi-Fi. But
yeah,
it reminded me of a Tim...
Because we are in the Bat Cave.
We're in the Bat Cave, that's right. So. It reminded me of a Tim Timmons song.
Not Tim Tebow.
Not Tim Tebow.
Okay.
I like Tebow. But yeah, seriously. He sings
what
too.
What does he not do?
What does he not do?
Yeah.
I'm going to go watch him play some baseball in Port St. Lucie, man.
There we go.
But yeah, Tim Timmons has a song about this, and I've heard him speak about this very thing, that should blow our minds when we hear that God's Spirit is literally alive in us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not some it's not some out there, you know, we can't access this. It's in us, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that should change everything that we do and everything that we say. We should be relying on God's Spirit.
That's right.
And I wish, personally, I'm preaching to myself, I wish every morning I would start out the day with that. And that's something that I think it would change everything about who I am.
Yeah.
Right.
And let's just dive in just a little bit on that. I want to press in because we are a Baptist church.
Come on.
And so... you could rightly level the accusation that Baptists are known for the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible.
That's right.
And Francis Chan wrote a book called Forgotten God, talking about the Holy Spirit. And I do think that there are, within the charismatic community, there are, I would say, the Holy Spirit's kind of gotten a bad name of, you know, craziness almost, you know, just chaos, which is, as you read the scriptures, God's not a God of chaos or a God of confusion.
That's right.
And so, but I think for many Baptists, we've kind of shied away from, you know, because you start talking about the Holy Spirit and people get, you know, it's like Star Wars is Force.
Right.
You know, people don't really know what you're talking about. And you say it's the third person of the Trinity. I mean, you know, and they're like, you know, I'm good with the Bible. And we'll kind of head back to that. But the reality that it was so important. And as you read through John's gospel and see Jesus's prayer, I believe it's in John 17, for his followers and those that would come after him, that he knew that their lifeline as believers was going to be in what he called the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, and that they needed to depend on the Spirit's work in their lives. In the task that that the Holy Spirit accomplishes, as we've talked about, working in and through us, showing us the truth of God's Word and things like that. So, you know, I think it's important for us to emphasize what the Scriptures emphasize in that area. And so probably be a good kind of note to self on that.
Yeah.
We probably ought to do a series where we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and really delve into the roles that that each person of the Trinity plays. And it was funny; I was telling Adam the this past week. So the kids were started a new curriculum this past Sunday, and they learned that God is always with us, right?
Right.
And that,
God is with us wherever we go.
Wherever we go. And so my 6-year-old that night, we were talking about it before bed. And she had a question, and she said, so God is with us wherever we go? And we said, yes. And she said, so he lives within us? And like, yes. And she said, like in your heart? And we're like, yeah, I mean, he right. lives in your heart. And she said, but what happens if you have heart surgery and they take out your heart and yeah. they put in a new one? Where does he go then?
Right. You have to ask him in your heart again.
And yeah, so and anyway, it was one of those things. So
literal.
Yeah, so she's trying to track with what's yeah. going on, and our answers were not helping a whole lot.
That's great.
And we tried it. You know, we'd start and we'd say something, and she that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And and so finally, at the end, I said, "Go talk to Pastor Adam."
thanks, Sam.
If you get our youngest comes to see you, you know, that's what it's about. So, I think even, you know, explaining the Trinity and the work of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, how they're one in essence, whatever makes God, God, they are that.
Right.
But there's also distinct personhood between the Father, the Son, right. and the Holy Spirit. So anyway, there's a lot of theological ink that's been yeah. spilled to try to explain that. So
I've probably shared this story on the podcast, but
yeah.
since our fan base has grown tenfold since
yes.
then, I mean,
yes.
of course it has.
Right.
So I was serving a great church in Warner Robins,
yeah.
Shirley Hills, and the song Holy Spirit, Brian and Katie Torwalt
yeah.
had come out.
You're
and,
welcome here.
Yeah, Holy Spirit,
yeah.
you're welcome here, which there's some great
right.
Babylon Bee about that, of
absolutely.
Course.
Yeah.
But I love that song, and I loved what it was saying,
mm-hmm.
The reminder.
Yeah.
You know, that God is present, you know,
yeah.
when we're together, and, you know,
absolutely.
Wherever we are, as you said.
Two or three are gathered.
Two or three, come on.
Yep.
And so I go to my pastor, and this just shows you, you know, again, that Baptist
timidity.
You know, yeah, yeah, the
yeah.
Baptist tradition mindset,
right.
the perception of the Baptist tradition.
Yeah.
I go to my pastor, and I say, so I really like this song, Holy Spirit. I showed him the lyrics. I said, is this okay? Can we sing this here? And he kind of looked at me like, well, yeah, yeah, you can sing it. You know? And I was like, are you sure? I mean, are you certain?
Yeah.
You know, do you see what it says? You know?
That's awesome.
But it's just, you know, growing up, that was
yeah,
it seemed
right.
a little foreign.
Yeah.
You know? And
so
now it seems more natural.
Yeah. So when he gave you the go-ahead, that really filled your passion bucket.
My passion bucket was overflowing.
That's amazing. Just, that's crazy.
Hey,
yeah.
I had at least one person mention passion bucket since the last podcast.
Yeah.
So somebody's listening.
Somebody's listening.
I love
we
it.
We have
I
one listener
it.
Out there.
So if you'd like to know how you can fill our passion buckets, we could certainly give you a list of that. One would be to have provided snacks for the 13th
right,
episode,
right.
but that didn't happen,
that
guys.
That did not happen.
So whoever dropped the ball on that out there in podcast land.
They probably looked at me and thought, he doesn't need to eat anymore.
So, yeah, you need to be fasting.
They're doing me a favor.
Yeah,
that's what
it is. So God's mission defies our logic, displays his power, and then the last one was demands our obedience. I love the picture of verse 11, because I can imagine myself being in that situation.
Hmm.
Jesus is ascending into heaven, and they're just looking,
right,
gazing. And, you know, I'm sure trying to process through, you know, not only him actually physically doing that, but processing through the last 3 years that they've
right.
spent walking with him, and then just the pain and the loss that they had experienced when they thought he was dead, and then the resurrection, and I mean, just imagine the emotional roller coaster these guys were on, and now he's gone, and they're just looking, you know, just gazing. I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
oh man,
what do we do?
You know,
now?
What do we do?
Jaw
and
on the ground, or
absolutely.
Something.
Yeah,
you know, Megan had that look on her face after the national championship game.
Did she?
She was
yeah.
just gazing at the TV. You know?
Right. Yeah. I can understand that. I mean, when Jesus leaves Alabama,
right?
You
right.
know, I mean, it's just it makes sense. So, but you know, basically, the two men that were there, and we don't really know if they're angels or not. They most likely were. It was two men stood by them in a white robe, so we don't really know, but it's most likely angels.
Toga party.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the Roman world at that point,
yeah.
you know, so
toga.
So, but they say, why are you standing looking into heaven? Yeah. So, that's good. Can, what's the word for this week? Did we not come up with
We've already said it like twice.
Have you? Toga? It's not toga.
Toga.
No.
I've said it like twice, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've said it twice.
Did you really?
That's good. Scott said it.
He said it then, yeah. Wowbizarre.
Wowbizarre. That was the... You said that now?
I've said it earlier.
I did not.
I missed it.
Really? I missed it. That's amazing.
That's too funny.
So these guys are looking into heaven, gazing with a wowbizarre expression, I'm sure. Just wild. And so the two men say, hey guys, why are you looking?
Right.
This guy, Jesus, who left, is coming back again. Which for me, it's kind of, if I'm in that moment, that's the boom. Mm-hmm. All right. Gaze down. Mm-hmm. Mission needs to be accomplished.
That's right.
And we talked about the fact that it demands our obedience, mm-hmm. that it's not time to be gazing, it's time to be living on mission. So, mm. any thoughts about that, guys?
Yeah, just the idea that, I think one of the points that you made under that was that we have people around us that need to hear that message. And while I think a lot of times we would say, oh, you know, I will... let somebody else tell them, you know, God has placed people in our lives for a specific purpose, mm-hmm. and we need to be obedient to that, whether it be just building that relationship with them through a common hobby or just being neighbors or whatever that may be, and just having opportunities to be able to share our faith with them, or even just... The simplicity of inviting somebody to church with us.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's even a, if you will, a less scary invite, as opposed to actually trying to, you know, we need to be obedient in sharing our testimony, our story, and mm-hmm. inviting people to have a relationship with Jesus. But, you know, I don't know, I can't remember the exact statistic, but, you know, typically they say, you know, there's non-Christians... Some would come to church with you if somebody mm-hmm. would just ask.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And how many times do we just not even ask anybody to come with us?
And if you promise to feed them lunch afterwards, that it probably goes up.
I would dare say.
It helps a lot.
No, I definitely think that's the thing. And I would say to those who are listening to just think about who's your one.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your one person that God has put in your path. It could be a neighbor, coworker, friend, whatever, but that one person is going to be your focus of building that relationship. If you don't have a relationship with them, or if you do have a relationship, but it's not gone beyond just hanging out, but to work that relationship in such a way that you're able to share the truth of the gospel with them, where you're able to invite them to church and mm-hmm. things like that, but just to really nail down who's your one mm-hmm. and be able to invest in a relationship with them and point them to Christ. So mm-hmm. I think for all of us, there's one person in our life that we can do that with.
That's right.
And if you think about it, for us, you know, if everyone in our church mm-hmm. has one, and that person comes to church mm-hmm. or develops a relationship with Jesus, then we've reached 300 people.
Right.
Just because we're intentional with one person.
That's right.
So I think that's definitely needed for us to think through and pray through and ask God to open our eyes to that one in our life that we can be on mission with. So anything else from the message Sunday that you guys wanted to cover? If not, I've got some exciting things to talk about. So
I don't want
to. Not that the message wasn't exciting.
Yeah, seriously.
What you got?
Yeah, I don't want to misquote you. I wrote this down in my notes. I don't know if it was an exact quote or if I was paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing, but something like, we can attend church every week and yet not fulfill the mission.
Mm.
And that's a great reminder.
Yeah.
Going to church is great.
Did I say that? That's good.
I mean, something.
I'm going to write that
something
down.
Something like that.
Wild
right?
Bizarre.
Yeah. Wow, I mean, it was wild bizarre.
Listen, tweet that.
But tweet that, yeah. But a great reminder that, you know, going to church is so important. There's great value there, but that's not the end result.
Right.
Yeah.
And we see that a lot in Scripture. Isaiah 1 comes to mind. Isaiah 1 was always a scary passage to me, because you see people who are worshiping, mm-hmm. they're singing, they're praying, they're lifting their hands. Yeah. I mean, they're in it to win it, and right. yet God tells them that they're being disobedient.
Yeah.
What a reminder that I can go through the motions and look like I'm doing exactly what God has asked me to do, and yet I'm still missing the point.
Yeah.
Right. So.
No, that's exactly right. All right, so just a couple of things for our segment on what's up in the world.
What's up?
Can we call that?
Oh,
is that
yeah.
good? Yeah.
It's good. Come on, like a little jingle.
What's up?
What's up in the world?
Yeah. That'd be good. So
this is getting better every day.
I love it, man. One, just a shout out to our boy Kenny Tibbetts.
Yeah, Kenny.
Kenny.
Slow clap for Kenny.
That's it. So Kenny is officially the reigning
two-time
champion of the corn dog eating contest at the Manatee County Fair.
I mean, after all, if it's fried,
you eat it. That's exactly right. So Kenny, good job, bud. We are certainly proud of you. So I want you to know that, and I hope he won something more than just a medal.
Yeah.
Did he get anything?
Pepsi AC or something?
Yeah, I was going to say.
He said he was going to wear both medals around
nice.
Last year's and this year's.
Really?
So he'd have some, you know, I don't know if he's going to go on for like a Michael Phelps thing.
Ooh,
very nice.
We get a picture of him holding them up. You know?
That's it. That's
it would be wow bizarre.
It would, man. That's amazing. So also Thursday night this week, we have Matt Marr.
From Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Our Canadian listeners.
Yeah. So if you're a Canadian listener and you're flying down for that event, please let us know. We would love to
connect with you.
And I'll give you a book. I already said that.
Autographed copy.
Yep. That'll be great.
Pick it up in person.
So, what time do we know?
I believe 7:30.
No, it says 7 to 8:30.
I think it's 7 to 8:30.
7 to 8:30. I think that was right.
That's what the app said, the Manatee County Fair app.
There's an app for that?
There is an app
for that. If it's fried, eat it.
Come on, I can't wait.
Yeah, that'll be good, and hope you'll be able to make it out for that. Be a great opportunity to worship some Jesus at the fire. So, cool.
I'm going to work on some interdenominational ministry and go to the Amish booth and get a donut.
yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So, that's an amazing donut.
It really
about
is.
About the size of your head.
It really
so,
is, man.
I haven't gotten one this year yet, but we're planning to make our way there. So, all right. Monday was MLK Junior Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so saw a lot of tweets in praise of Dr. King, and certainly he is deserving of a lot of credit for the push for racial equality in our country. And so we want to celebrate that, and also say that there is still a lot of work to be done
That's right.
on that front.
That's right.
Especially in the church, when you think about the fact that the most racially segregated hour still in this country is on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And so still a lot of work to be done in that area, though I am encouraged in the dialogue that's going on and the relationships that are being built and
mm-hmm.
things that are coming forward out of that. I also want to caution us as well, because we also need to recognize, I believe, that God uses kind of what we talked about, ordinary people, and but also flawed people.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
so I never want to pretend that Martin Luther King Jr.'s life was spick and span clean. I mean, he still struggled with sin issues and things like that in his life. And you know, so it's easy for people and to just kind of whitewash over that, and so I don't want to do that. We don't want to do that with anybody,
mm-hmm.
And certainly also emphasize God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's ability to use, as Vance Havner said, he can hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. How about
right.
that? You like that?
I
so.
Like that.
Little Appalachian preacher right there.
There you
so,
go.
Celebrate that. And then this Friday is the presidential inauguration of our 45th president, Donald J. Trump. So that should be an interesting deal. There was a kind of a little bit of scuttlebutt about some congressmen that are going to boycott going to his inauguration. One of those being a representative from the state of Georgia, John Lewis, who is one of the key people with Martin Luther King Jr. Walking through the civil rights movement, and basically said that Donald Trump wasn't qualified or fit to be president. And so anyway, that created a bit of a firestorm and things like that. But I think for us, you know, as believers, again, citizens of two kingdoms, we are United States citizens, and so we fall under the laws of the land unless those laws contradicts God's law, and we honor those who are put in authority over us and submit to them. And yet we also recognize that our hope's not in our political leaders and those things as well, that ultimately our citizenship and our hope is in heaven and it's in Christ and His kingdom reigning. So I think as we head into that, for some people that's going to be a great Friday. For others, that's not going to be a great Friday. Mm-hmm. And the good news for both sides of that is God's still the same, right, whether you like the president or don't like the president.
That's right.
And so we can take unity in that. Mm-hmm. And next week we are going to continue, actually finish up our Resolve series. And so we will close that out looking at Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, talking about God's kingdom will be a priority. And I put this question out today on our Facebook page, and this is basically the gist of the passage. So I encourage you to read ahead and think through that. But the question is, will God or money be our master, and will our life be marked by faith or fear? And so those are the two concepts that are really brought up, and I think they go hand in hand together. So we're going to be really looking at that. We're going to be talking about some pretty hard-hitting things this week with regards to finances, with regards to whether, if we look at our lives, if God's kingdom and His rule and reign, both on the earth and in our lives personally, if that's what's ruling us, or if something else is ruling us, another idol that may be in our life, and whether we're living lives that are faith-based or fear-based. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that's where we'll be heading this week. I think it'll be a good Sunday. So I want to encourage folks to be there and be praying up ahead of time, expectation of God moving and speaking to them in their lives over this area. So worship.
Excited about it. Yeah, we're doing a Matt Redman song that North River has done, but not in the 3.5 months or so that I've been here.
Yeah.
Which is We Could Change the World. Great, great song, great chorus. Our God is who He says He is.
Yeah.
Jesus, in Your name, we can change the world.
Yeah.
That's a great, great message.
That's good, man.
Doing a hymn arrangement of How Great Thou Art.
Wait, hang on. Did you just say hymn?
Hymn arrangement.
Is that not a cuss word these days?
I know, right?
The church? So.
Oh, man. Seriously.
Hey, I will say this. I love the fact that, with a bit of a contemporary twist, the great hymns of church history are being sung. So thank you for including those in that, not breaking just for the new and the
right. Thank you, brother.
Contemporary. So.
Yeah, we can't lose that. You know that.
How's your passion bucket now?
My passion bucket. It's so full. You know.
That's amazing.
But yeah, excited. Very excited about Sunday. Also, as we mentioned earlier, life groups officially kicking off.
Yeah.
Many on Sunday, a couple throughout the week.
Perfect.
But very excited about that.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. We we're so excited about this spring semester of getting folks plugged in, moving from rows to circles, and that's an exciting thing for the life of our church. So, all right, guys, that's all I got.
Woo!
Yep.
Happy 13.
Yay!
Woo-hoo! All right, we will catch you next week on another episode of Beyond the 13.